Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. Amen. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thus David joyfully and confidently concludes Psalm 16. Over the course of this Lenten season, we've been walking through the Psalms, and the handful of Psalms we've walked through have covered a variety of topics concerning God and human beings in a variety of ways that God connects to humans and our experiences. David and the other psalmists wrote these Psalms as heartfelt prayers to God. And as the prayer book of the Bible, the Psalms cover the whole range of human experiences and emotions. Through the Psalms, God gives us words to pray. Words to pray in times of rejoicing and words to pray in times of sorrow. But the words of the Psalms are also Christ's words. Christ also prays the Psalms. And in doing so, he gives us the Psalms to pray. As Pastor Troy noted on Good Friday, quoting Dietrich Bonhoeffer, David prays the Psalms, Christ prays the Psalms, we pray the Psalms. To walk through the Psalms is to walk through the vast experiences of this life. But more importantly, to walk through life in and with Christ. Well, Psalm 16 is the appointed Psalm for Easter Sunday. And in this Psalm, we see David express trust and confidence in Yahweh. He knows that whatever befalls him in this life, his relationship with God is secure. Therefore, he can proclaim, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. As David navigates his life, he knows that Yahweh is always with him. He's always by David's side, encouraging him, strengthening him, comforting him through his word. God has promised to always be with him, and by faith, David clings to this promise. So he can confidently cry out, therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. David's flesh, that is, his body, is secure in God, and his soul will not be abandoned to Sheol, or, that is, the grave, or even hell. David knows that even when he dies, his body that'll be buried rests secure in God. And his soul won't be abandoned. It too will rest in God. Both body and soul are secure in Yahweh. This, of course, is resurrection language. Though in death, body and soul are separated, the grave doesn't have the final say for those who belong to Yahweh. Body and soul will be reunited in the resurrection of the dead. This is the path of life that Yahweh has made known to David. This path of life that God has placed David upon will lead him from this life through death to life again. On this side of the grave, Yahweh remains present with David, and Yahweh's presence with David will only intensify on the other side of the grave. This is the path of life that God has made known to David, and it fills him with joy. So in this psalm, we hear David's voice of trust and confidence in God, of the hope that he has in Yahweh, hope that is sure and certain, because God is the God of life. But as I hinted at earlier, in this psalm, we not only hear David's voice, but Christ's voice. In his famous Pentecost sermon in Acts 2, Peter identifies verses 8 through 11 of Psalm 16 with the crucified and risen Jesus. So when we hear Psalm 16, more than hearing David, we should hear Christ. So hear now these words through Christ. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. It was Jesus who truly set the Lord, his Father, always before him. The Father was always with Jesus, and so he was never shaken. Jesus entrusted his flesh and soul to his heavenly Father. And it is Jesus who is the path of life, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. And after he ascended into heaven, Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father, in the full and joyful presence of his Father. Dr. Timothy Seleska says this regarding Christ's voice in Psalm 16. It is the voice of the one who took on human flesh and lived and acted as the true and perfect man that we are not. And that means that we are listening to the voice of the one who shows us what being a human actually means. Specifically in this psalm, Christ gives us a picture of the love and trust that are at the core of what it means to be truly and faithfully human before God. His words here, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol," mirror the trust he expressed in his last words on the cross to his Father. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Christ entrusted his body and soul into the hands of his Father. His trust in the Father was then vindicated in his resurrection from the dead. For though he was crucified, died, and buried, his flesh still dwelt secure, and his soul was not abandoned to the grave or hell. In his resurrection, Jesus' body and soul were reunited together in perfect resurrected life. To grossly understate it, Jesus' bodily resurrection is a big deal. Easter is a big deal because Jesus' bodily resurrection will be our bodily resurrection. It'll be the resurrection of all who believe in him. For in his incarnation, life, ministry, death, burial, and resurrection, Christ established the path of life as the path of life. Jesus has traversed life, death, and resurrection ahead of us. Through his life, death, and life again, Jesus has paved the way for us. He has trailblazed the path for us. Christ has set us upon the path of life, and he who is the way, the truth, and the life leads us along this path. The life and death of those who belong to Jesus are intimately united with Jesus' life and death. And his resurrection will become our resurrection. And so in this way, the words of Psalm 16 become our words. The Lord is before us at our right hand. Our hearts can rejoice because of the promises and hope that Christ has given to us. And our frail flesh, though it one day will fail and die, it is secure in Christ, because in Christ it will be resurrected. Our souls will never be abandoned to grave or hell, but will be reunited with our bodies in the resurrection. Jesus has made known to us the path of life because he is the path of life. And in Christ's presence we have the fullness of eternal joy. In and through Jesus and his death and resurrection, the words of the psalm become our words. And as I said, Easter is a big deal. The resurrection is a big deal. The reality of Easter, the truth of Jesus' bodily resurrection, shapes and impacts how we live today. And lately, I've been thinking a lot about how the reality of Easter intersects with the really difficult things in life, where the path of life runs into the highways and interstates of suffering, turmoil, and death. And it's interesting how in those moments, in those intersections, where what you know and believe to be true are really best. Facing a tough situation, do I actually believe that Jesus is with me on this path? In my sorrow, do I trust that Jesus is leading me to himself? In my vulnerability and weakness and sin, do I really believe that Christ still holds on to me, that he forgives me of my sins, that he keeps me on the path of life? In those moments, I think the proper response is, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." But because Christ is risen, because He is with us, because He has set us upon the path of life, we can continue to tread the often difficult and frightening path. Because in our weakness, Christ's power is made perfect. And Christ's power is that of resurrection, the power to create the new path of life. The path set before Jesus led to the cross and to the tomb. But it didn't end in the grave. Jesus walked out of the tomb, creating the new path of life. Christ will never re-enter or return to the tomb. He's returning to raise us from the dead. And this sure and certain hope impacts how we live every day. For in everything, we believe and confess that we know our Redeemer lives. He is risen from the dead. That He has forgiven us our sins, that He will swallow up death forever, that He'll wipe away every tear from our eyes, and that He's returning for us, that He's walking with us on the path of life. We walk this path alone, but with Christ and our brothers and sisters in the church. And so in light of Jesus' resurrection, as we walk along the path of life together, we must remind one another that nothing will put Christ back into the tomb. Not one thing we face in this sin-filled world will put Jesus back into the tomb. Nothing. Not our church boiler breaking, pipes eroding, our constant technology and mic problems. Not the ongoing pandemic, nor our country's social and political uncertainty, nor the cancers or sicknesses that wreck our bodies, nor our emotional or relational scars, not the death of loved ones, not the injury, not the heartbreaking situations in our families, nor the stressful circumstances at work, not the dreaded phone call we have to make, nor the loneliness or anxiety or depression, not the disappointments or disillusionments or crisis, not the shame of past mistakes or current weaknesses, nor our dark secrets or any of our sins, because Christ has made known to us the path of life. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
To Christ the crucified and risen one be all glory forever and ever. Amen.